This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, obviously we always start out with the Holy Father, Pope Francis at his Wednesday general audience this morning. What was the main focus of the Holy Father in his very last audience before Christmas?
Well, John, you may remember that last week Pope Francis let us know that he was almost done with the theme of discernment, which has, of course, occupied the last few weeks of his catechesis. Today, he continued with that same theme, and he noted that many who are following his weekly catechesis might just start to think that this whole idea of discernment is very complicated. But he said, no, instead, it's not that. He said, life is complicated, but if you don't learn how to read it through discernment, you actually risk wasting your life. And that's why discernment becomes indispensable. He said, discernment is an ongoing process, and that's because life is always presented choices. So the idea is if you don't make conscious choices, in the end, he says, life is going to choose for you and it's going to take you where you don't want to go. So he said that discernment should never be done alone. It should never be done in a vacuum. It should be done along with reading the Word of God and knowing and going deeper into the doctrine of the church. Because this is how, he says, you learn to recognize God's authentic voice in your life. So he called the reading of Scripture indispensable, and it's something that should never be taken for granted. He said the Word of God is not just a text, but it's actually a living presence, and it's that living presence, it's through that living presence that that relationship with the Lord Jesus is built, so that when you do hear God's voice, you feel also to accompany it a sense of peace. And it's only when you're at peace that you can enter profoundly into yourself and recognize the authentic desires that God has placed into your heart. So he called that idea of the relationship with the Lord just like a friendship relationship that we would know with any friend, saying that, of course, we have a tender and affectionate Father who loves us, who's always loved us. And so when one experiences that type of love, he said, the love is irresistible. And finally, today, John, he reminded all the faithful that they are never alone, and that using those aids of discernment, like reading the Word of God and coming to know the teachings of the church better in order to hear God's voice, if those are used, then there is never a reason to be afraid, John.
Beautiful message by the Holy Father, and he puts his words into practice by a few years ago when he instituted that special Word of God Sunday. So I know that in his heart he knows how important Scripture is, the Word of God, how it needs to come alive in our hearts.
Yes, exactly, because he said it's by understanding Scripture that one can understand the compassion and love of God. He said that one should not see God as an authoritarian judge who's always trying to catch us doing something wrong. But by knowing him through his word, we can understand his true love, mercy, and compassion.
All right, Ashley, I've got to get your take on the huge, massive celebrations in Buenos Aires yesterday. There were so many people on hand, they literally had to rescue the players from the team bus in the parade by a helicopter. The country has gone nuts after Argentina won the World Cup. I got to believe that, and I know Pope Francis tries to be impartial because he is the Holy Father, but deep down, he's got to be super excited to see Argentina finally, along with Messi, finally win their first cup in a long, long time.
Yes, John. So indeed, Pope Francis had made an official statement about the World Cup saying, may it favor fraternity. So in other words, not giving his personal take on who he was going to be cheering for. Although, as you point out, John, being from Argentina and knowing that Argentina is his favorite team, I think we all know. But I don't know. I mean, I did watch the World Cup, but many people don't realize that Pope Francis didn't. And that's because Pope Francis hasn't actually watched television since July 15th of 1990. And he made a vow to Our Lady at the time. And so he didn't actually see it live, although he does get weekly updates on the results of his favorite team, Argentina. So certainly he knew what was going on and was able to root for his favorite team, at least from a distance, John.
That is so cool. I know one of the first things I thought of was the Holy Father when Argentina won that World Cup. They call it one of the greatest World Cup finals in the history of the World Cup. So, yeah, the excitement, no doubt, led to fraternity and all the camaraderie that comes from sports. You know, you forget about all the rivalries and just, you know, a lot of people were happy for the Argentinian people. And obviously they're going to be celebrating for a long, long time. And so I appreciate that insight, though, on the Holy Father and not watching TV. Just one other note. Messi himself made a vow to the Blessed Mother that if Argentina won the World Cup, that he'd go and visit a couple of Marian shrines, very well-known shrines in Argentina. So we'll see if he follows through.
Yeah. Yeah, that was back in 2018. And he didn't, that cup, of course, they didn't win. So let's see if now that he has, if he's able to do that in honor of Our Lady. And of course, I so appreciate how after his successes, he points up to the heavens and attributes that, gives it all back for the glory of God. So that's awesome to see as a message to all.
For sure. Meanwhile, I can just begin to imagine how glorious St. Peter's Square and the rest of Roma is in preparation for Christmas Eve.
Absolutely. So first of all, what will happen on Christmas Eve is that Pope Francis will celebrate the midnight mass at 7:30 p.m. again this year. Now that may ring quite early to a lot of people's ears. And that's because during COVID, the time was changed to 7:30 p.m. And turns out this year, they did not go back to the pre-COVID time of 10 p.m. that Pope Benedict XVI had set in 2009. So, that mass will be live streamed, as will the Christmas Day mass. And after the Christmas Day celebrations, the Pope will impart his traditional Christmas blessing. It's called the Urbi et Orbi. It means to the city and the world, to the city meaning the city of Rome and the rest of the world. And that will happen at noon. And he will stand on the balcony above right in the center of the facade of St. Peter's Basilica. And of course, we all recognize that as the same place where every pope steps out right after his first election. And so those will all be able to be seen by everywhere around the world.
And but if I may just make a quick commercial,
on
Relevant Radio, as we do every year, we'll be bringing much of those celebrations from Rome live, thanks to Vatican Radio, for the people to be able to really feel like they're part of the happenings in the Eternal City. And I understand that there is a Christmas snow train that's also planned.
Oh, yes. You're right. Okay. So, John, imagine that during this Christmas season, it's estimated that about 17 million people will be traveling in Italy. And this is going to bring the numbers back to pre-COVID levels of tourism. And Rome is said to be the number one destination for international travelers. But another great destination is going to be to Abruzzo, which is in the central part of the country, to take the Treno della Neve, the snow train that you mentioned, John. And this is a vintage 1930s era train that travels through the mountains of Abruzzo. Now, it only happens during the Christmas season. So it starts from Sulmona and it goes through hillside villages and it ends up in the Magellan National Park there. Along the way, it stops at all kinds of cute little towns, which feature charming little Christmas markets. So a great destination for all these travelers to Italy.
Ashley, a final moment, a quick word on the living nativity scene there in Roma and the largest Christmas tree in the world in Italy.
Yes, exactly. So imagine that a living reenactment of the Christmas story has just happened in Rome. It started at the Basilica of St. John Lateran, the Cathedral of Rome, went all the way down to the Basilica of St. Mary Major. And participants were dressed as traditional Roman artisans and soldiers and characters from the story of Christ's birth. There were real animals as well. And it all began with a reenactment of Pope Innocent III's approval of the Franciscan rule. And then an actor dressed as St. Francis led the procession. Why? Because it was St. Francis who set up the first nativity scene back in 1223. And of course, that was to give people a more tangible experience of the awe of the miracle of Christ's birth. So when they reached the Church of St. Mary Major, the major Marian shrine of Rome, there was a stable set up there at the entrance, and passersby had the opportunity to come, to stop, to reflect right there in front of the Holy Family. A special mass was celebrated by Cardinal Donatus, and the Christmas novena was prayed, and everyone brought their little baby Jesus statues from their nativity scenes at home. The Cardinal blessed those, and of course, they will be placed in the nativity scenes in their homes on the 24th of December in preparation for Christ's birth.
Buon Natale.
Buon Natale means good birth. In other words, we're remembering the birth of Christ. So Buon Natale to you.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.